Well, that's going to be hard to follow. That was very nice. Last week, the title of the message was, I Will Be a Functioning Member. Today's message is, I Will Be a Unifying Church Member. The text I will reread from Ephesians 4, 1 to 3. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of your calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. How many fruits of the Spirit did you notice in that reading? Gentleness, patience, love, peace, and then you can add humility as being part of that, even though it's not one of the listed ones. But it sounds like a good prescription for unity in the body of believers or in any group of people. Have you ever been confused about the concept of unity? I haven't thought about it much, actually. Are we unified as a country? Better question, are we unified as a church? Unity can be defined as being together, being of the same mind, being fully in full accord. Philippians 2:2, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and in purpose. Church membership, the body of believers can function, should function like a team. In team sports, many of you have played in team sports, I'm sure. What happens if you're in a football on a football team and that football team doesn't have any unity? Can the team accomplish their goals if every player is not doing the best they can to be on that, to try to win? Can the team be as good as it could be if only a handful of the players are doing the best they can? Teams of any kind will accomplish more if the entire team is like-minded and unified in their purpose. And maybe you don't want to be compared to a team, but we are a team. The body of Christ is a team, and we need to be unified in our purpose and be like-minded. I'll speak about the Kansas City Chiefs for a minute. But it'd be terrible for you guys, but I just happen to like them. I believe that much of their success as the Chiefs can be attributed to their like-mindedness and their unified purpose. And I think that starts with their ownership and goes clear down to through all their players and everyone on their staff. When each player or staff member gives the best for the team, greater achievements seem to follow, whether that's the Chiefs or any other sporting team. I'm hoping for a third championship for the Chiefs in a row. I just had to throw that one in. So how does church membership function like a team? I believe as a church member, you have a responsibility to be a source of unity and never be a divisive force. You are to love your fellow Christians unconditionally. So the first point, once again, don't have it up there. But the first point is, you will be known by your love for one another. John 13:23. One of them, the disciple who Jesus loved, was reclining next to him. That disciple was John. John was known as the disciple that Jesus loved. Jesus and John were actually related, but they were essentially best friends. They were such good friends that Jesus entrusted John for the care of his mother from the cross. John had witnessed, he was part of the inner circle of Jesus as following, and he witnessed Jesus' miracles and the transfiguration. And he was even inspired by the Holy Spirit to write a number of the books of the Bible. John shared the love of Jesus with others that he encountered. John was loved by Jesus, and he loved the followers of Jesus very well. My question is, did Jesus love the Apostle John more than he loves you or me? No. That's the answer. No. He did not. Jesus loves you. We sing that when we're children. Jesus loves me. This I know. Believe it. He does. John 14, 34 and 35. So now I'm going to give you a new commandment. Love each other just as I have loved you. You should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. So, do we love each other? Do we love each other in this family of believers? Do we share the love of Jesus with others that are not part of our personal family or this family of God? I hope so. We sang a song. Thank you, Aaron, for putting that song in. That they'll know we are Christians by our love. The words that I wanted to hear and that we all should emulate is, they will know we are Christians. They will know we are Christians by our love, by our love. Yeah, they'll know we are Christians by our love. People will also know if you lack love. It's obvious if you don't really care about others. And it's a terrible witness. It's a terrible witness of our faith. When we have the faith in Jesus that we claim, we should love. Second point. This is really an ugly point, but it was in the outline, so. Is there any place for gossip and for other negative talk in the family of God? The short and blunt answer for that is absolutely no. It's divisive. Romans 1, 28 to 31. Furthermore, since they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, he gave them over to a depraved mind to do what ought not to be done. They have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. Wow. They are gossips, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, and boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. They are senseless, faithless, heartless, and ruthless. Holy cow. I said that wouldn't be a very good list. I think that's a list of what not to be. Would you agree? My goodness. I don't want to be on that list. But I have to confess, I probably have been on that list. I'm sure I have. How about you? Did you see anything in that list that... Only through faith in Jesus Christ can we stay off of that evil list. We can't do it without Jesus. Tap into Him. Use His Holy Spirit as your guide. It's the only way. Chapter 3 of the book of James is about taming the tongue. Another wonderful part of this point. It says, the tongue can destroy and corrupt the whole person. And I won't read the whole thing. But it's a restless evil full of deadly poison and must be controlled. Wow. Yeah. That makes sense. 1 Peter 3:10. Whoever would love life and see good days must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from deceitful speech. Have you ever had a slip of the tongue? Why haven't? Oh, no. Yes. No. I'm not sure I could count them. So we'll just leave it at that. But most of us have. And it doesn't demonstrate Jesus' teaching or Jesus' life in us. If you have, and I'm sure you have, and if you haven't, I'm sure you will. I'm sorry to say, but ask for forgiveness. Let the Holy Spirit, your guide, guide your words. Don't be a source of gossip. Don't participate in gossip. It has no good. It's not healthy for you. It's not healthy for those around you. Romans 15:5-6. May the God who gives you endurance and encouragement give you a spirit of unity among yourselves as you follow Christ Jesus, so that with one heart and mouth you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's do that. Third point. We should be living examples of forgiveness and unity. Forgiveness and unity are bound together. The scripture that follows the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6:14-15, Jesus says, for if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you don't forgive men of their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Ouch. Man, I came up here to beat you guys up, not myself. Not really. But is there anyone here that doesn't need forgiveness? Too many questions? If you don't need forgiveness, I need to talk to you after service because I'm afraid that's wrong. We all need forgiveness. Is there someone in your life that you need to forgive? Our sinful nature says that we don't need to forgive. But our Lord says we must. So stop listening to self and listen to Jesus. Last month, the scripture for Mike's sermon from Colossians was Colossians 3:12-17. from Colossians 3, 12 to 14, it says, "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them together in perfect unity." Unity won't happen if we don't forgive and reach out in love. Colossians 2:2. "My purpose is that they may be encouraged in the heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, which is namely Jesus Christ." So in closing, I got a whole page to close with, but anyway, still. As I close, I want to ask you, are you or do you want to be a unifying church member? I hope your answer is yes and yes. The sermon outline that Mike produced for Brian and I to follow for this while he's gone prints out, printed out for me a playbook kind of to achieve unity in the church. The best points that I can mention are: be known by your love for one another and for others. Eliminate gossip and negative talk, and learn how to forgive better and do that. Let forgiveness produce unity for the good of the kingdom of God. I mentioned earlier that I hope the Kansas City Chiefs can win a third Super Bowl in a row. Whether that happens or not, it's not going to change anything greatly. But a much more important hope than anything that the Chiefs do is I want this family of God to be an example of unity in this community, to bring more people to Christ before it's too late for them. Because the clock is running, and this game is going to run out. And anybody that doesn't know Jesus Christ on a personal level is not going where all of us are planning to be. And I wouldn't wish hell on my worst enemy. That's the reality. You either know Jesus or you don't. And if we can be unified in our purpose as followers of Jesus Christ in this community, then we can serve him better. We can serve God best when we use his playbook, the Bible, and his teachings, those from Jesus and from the prophets, and do it as a unified team. Colossians 3:17. "And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord. Give thanks to God the Father through him." So we know what we need to be doing. And the best I can tell you is, let's get busy. And on that, I was supposed to pause and say, and all God's people said, amen. Please pray with me. God, I thank you for bringing us all together. I thank you for sharing your plan of salvation for your people. May each of us do our part to honor you and share your plan with others. Thank you for our Father, and for every father that's here. I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.